So let's open up to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. And let's read along. It's on the screen as well, and you can read along in your own Bible, in your own version if you like. Here's what it says. So be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Then you will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. And you will always give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the word of God for this morning. And I just really believe that we need the instruction of the Bible. We need the instruction of the word of God to live our lives fully for Him. Anything less is not what God wants. God doesn't want us to just live kind of a half life for Him, a quarter life for Him, maybe three quarters of our life for Him. He wants our entire life. That's what He wants. And for some, that's really scary. For some, it's like, well, I kind of like my life, and I what if God says I have to go to Siberia and become a missionary or something? It's too cold. I don't know. We have this fear. Like, what if we have to do this? Or what if God says to do that? But boy, I tell you, He has the best for us. He has the absolute best for us. And these verses, they actually offer us some amazing wisdom in how to live our Christian lives, how to walk it out day by day. And I don't know about you, but I really need God's wisdom every day, because every day has its new challenges. And I think you could confess that's probably the same for you. Every day has its new challenges, and we need God's wisdom in how to deal with that and how to navigate through those things. And so as Paul is writing here in Ephesians, he's doing so as a warning. He's warning them, and he's encouraging them to make the most of every opportunity. In preaching, one of the, it's called hermeneutics. It's the principle around preaching. And one of the hermeneutical principles is interpreting Scripture. In doing that is that you have to use Scripture to interpret the meaning of Scripture. You can't just take a Scripture verse and then just kind of, make up whatever you want about it. You actually have to take Scripture and look at other Scripture, how it explains and it fills in and helps us understand better. And so today, we're going to actually move through different pieces of Scripture. So if you've got your Bibles, you better, warm it up. You better open it up and kind of stretch it out a little bit, because you're going to be moving back and forth. So hopefully you got fast fingers this morning to flip through. And if you don't, hopefully your eyes are clear. You can see what's on the screen, and I'll have most of those Scripture verses for you up there. But I want to encourage you again, bring your Bibles with you. If you got the electronic Bible, whatever, that's fine. It makes it even quicker to flip through and find those Scripture verses. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So let's pray. Father, we just believe this morning that you have a word for us. Lord, we thank you that you actually give us wisdom, Lord, that you actually allow us the opportunity to be your hands and feet every day. And Lord, even as Chris was sharing with us this morning, it may not seem that we're being effective, but then God, you use us. You use us, Lord. And I thank you for using my brother this morning, Lord, speaking through Chris, Lord, your Holy Spirit speaking through him. God, you can speak through each and every one of us. And Lord, we thank you for that. We need that, God. We can't function without you. And we really won't be useful for you, God, without asking for your wisdom, without asking you to speak through, God, without asking, Lord, for you to lead us. And so, God, we just pray this morning. We ask you this morning, Lord, that we would choose to take advantage of every opportunity that you give us. And Lord, it's not about growing a church, a building, a space, Lord. It's actually about growing the kingdom. It's actually about sharing what you're doing, God, and seeing people's lives changed and transformed, because you're alive. Because you're not dead, but you're alive. And you have life for all people, life for all of us. We're not just a chosen few. But there's life available for every person through you, Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord. So have your way today, Lord, and speak to us through your word. Amen. So let's start right at verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Be careful how you walk. Have you ever been walking down a path? Like, when Leslie and I started running at Cliff Gilker Park, while walking at first and then running, you have to be a little careful, because there's roots sticking out and there's things sticking out, branches and, rocks and stuff like that. And, Leslie and I have both had the privilege at different occasions to trip and fall at speed. Now, Asha was with us when we were running, and she said, Daddy, you fell and you rolled and you just caught up and kept going. I said, of course. I've been trained that way. I know what I watched a lot of G.I. Joe as a kid. I know how they do that. But Leslie, when she went down, all I could do was laugh for only a moment because she gave me this look, and I thought, I better not laugh. It's probably best for me not to laugh. And but, you know, you really got to walk carefully. You got to watch where you're going sometimes, you know, depending if it's dark, depending on if there's things sticking out and this and that. But you got to look carefully. You know, the word to walk carefully literally means to look carefully. Look carefully. And in our Christian walk, in this journey that we're in, we are not to just kind of go through the motions of life and merrily make our way down life's path. Instead, we're to look carefully with care and attention. You know, the path, the narrow road, the path to follow Jesus is a narrow path. It's not a broad path. It's not a path that you can just say, well, I'm fine. It's such a wide road. I can just kind of go this way and that way, and I'll stay within the boundaries of the road. No, that's not true. If you're truly a follower, if you're truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, it's a narrow road. And in some ways, friends, and I'm not talking about rules and regulations. I'm talking about what God says, what His Word says. And the more you dig into that, the more you dig into being a disciple, a follower of Jesus, the more you realize that those shoulders of that road are closer than you think. So let's walk carefully. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, just a little bit prior to this. It's how you walk. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Live a life filled with love for others, following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave Himself as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased because that sacrifice was like sweet perfume to Him. That's what it says in the New Living Translation. You see, we're to actually walk carefully in our relationship with others. We're actually to walk carefully in our relationship with others around us. Those inside the church and outside. We're told to live a life that's filled with love for others, following the example of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes you can hear that, and it goes like this. It just flies right over your head. Yeah, yes, I will live a life of love for others. I will follow the example of Christ when I feel like it. Right? Do you know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one? Anyone else? Yeah, a couple people are willing to confess. That's good. Be honest. That's the reality. That's the reality. It's we need to look at these words and we need to embrace these words. Because if you don't embrace them, if you think, yeah, that's good for someone else and, you know, I'll get there when I get there. I'm sorry, but that's actually just not good enough. It's not good enough. I want to challenge you to step up. Step up to what God's calling you to. It's between you and the Lord. No one else knows, but God knows, and He knows your heart. So let's live that way, loving others. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, the first part of verse 5. Not as unwise men, and I'm going to add, or women. Live wisely among those who are not Christians. That's what the word says. When we're filled with God's wisdom that comes from above, we are different. The world around us actually does notice that. The idea that we are to live by example, because there are always those who know we're Christians and they're watching our lives. Do you realize that? Do you know that there are those that are watching our lives? They're in your environment. They're in your circle of influence. There are people that are watching you and they're watching to see how you react and how you interact as a believer. In verse 16, it says, make the most of your time because the days are evil. You know, you look at that and you can look around and we've had a beautiful week and you can go, boy, you know, it's been pretty nice out. I have a hard time seeing the days are evil. That sounds kind of strong, Lord. But the fact is, in the second part of Colossians 4, 5, it says, make the most of your time and make the most of every opportunity. The most, making the most of your time, it literally means to redeem the time. Redeem the time. See, we have to realize that the time we have as Christians in this world is extremely valuable. It's extremely valuable. Every day that you have opportunity to do good, every day you have an opportunity to be a blessing to someone, to connect with someone, and even opportunities to share about your relationship with Jesus with someone. That opportunity may not be available to you tomorrow. That opportunity may just be available to you today. And so each one of us has to wrestle with, do I be obedient to that opportunity? Do I be obedient to God in that opportunity to say, okay, Lord, how are you leading me in this? Or are we going to say, you know, I really don't have time for this. Maybe I'll run into this person another time. Have you ever done that? Have you ever bargained? God, if I see that person, you know, when I'm at the post office, I'm going to talk to them. You know, like you're testing God. But yet he said, hey, well, they were right there. You could have just talked to them then. Why are you kind of saying, well, you know, I'll just make sure that that's actually you giving me that opportunity. Let them just magically appear again in this place. And then I'll do that, Lord. How about we just listen the first time and say, yes, I'll step into that right away. Instead of saying, okay, I'm going to put a fleece out. It just makes no sense. See, I actually believe that we need to evaluate the things that we spend our time doing. We need to evaluate those things. We need to examine those things. You know, from time to time, Leslie and I will sit down and, especially when things are getting stressful, we'll sit down and we'll figure out, okay, what are we doing exactly? What are all the things that are going on in our lives? And I'm not talking about just make a list and cross off those things that are just, you know, secondary. But I am saying look at those things, look at them carefully and say, God, what is it that you are leading me to? What is it that you actually called me to? And what are the things that I need to look and examine and see that I'm spending way too much time on this when you've actually called me to this? It could be your family. It could be that, you know, it could be that you're spending not enough time with your family. It could be that, you know, you're off doing other things and you need to be focusing more on other things that God's calling you to. Only you know what that is. But it's good to do that. It's good to evaluate from time to time what we're spending our time doing. You know, perhaps it's just asking that simple question. Is this making the most of my time to obey what God wants me to be saying today? Is it doing that? I would also say that something that's not said enough in our churches, I want to say to you this morning, is that Jesus is coming back soon. We don't hear that as much in our churches anymore. But friends, that is the truth. And when we lose sight of that, when we lose sight of the fact that Jesus is coming back soon, we all of a sudden have all kinds of time to do all kinds of things because there's so much time. It's not a big deal. But the reality is that he is coming back soon. That's something that we've lost in our churches. It's something we've lost in our preaching. We've got to get back to that. So let me remind you this morning, Jesus is coming back soon. And we have to take and make the most of the time that he's given us. So why? Why do we take every opportunity? Because the days are evil. I talked about that a second ago. The days are evil. Yeah, we can look around and we say, boy, it's not too bad here. But listen, we have to have a broader perspective of what's going on in this world around us. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, the days are evil. This is what it says about that. He died for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. He died for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. It's because of the fall of man we live in a world that has been corrupted by sin. And friends, let me remind you, we are all sinners saved by grace when we choose to accept him to come and set us free. There is a heaven and there is a hell. That's another thing that we've started talking less and less about is hell. We like to talk about the good things, about heaven, but we don't want to talk about that stuff and that because we think it's unpopular. Well, it may not be something we want to hear, but it is a reality. So the days are evil and we live in this corrupted world. We don't know how many opportunities we're going to have to share with others about the fact that he died for our sins and rescued us, as it says here in Galatians. If the days were evil when Paul wrote this letter, think about this. If the days were evil when Paul wrote this letter, then what is their condition today? What's their condition today? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. It says this again, use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Do you put on the armor of God? Do you know what the armor of God is? Do you know what it's for? It's so that we can stand. It's so that we can actually stand and stand firm and stand strong in Him in the battle. We're reminded that we are, in fact, in that battle, and that we need to use all the tools that God has given us so that in the end we will stand firm. This is something that, again, we often forget. We're in a spiritual battle. We forget that sometimes. We just think, boy, you know, it's just I'm having a tough day, I'm having a rough time. But the reality is, friends, we're in a spiritual battle. There's an enemy of our soul. There's an enemy of our soul that wants to destroy your marriage. There's an enemy of our soul that wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your faith. And he wants you to turn from God and walk away. That's what he wants. That's his desire. And he's constantly at work trying to do that. He does that by putting Christians against Christians. That's probably the greatest deception of all. And the sad part of that is that we allow it to happen. We allow it to happen. That's messed up. And so we have to realize that we need to realize it's a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. We need to look around at the bigger picture, at the state of the world, and realize that the days are evil. In chapter 7, in verse 17, it says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Because the days are evil, don't be foolish. Understand the will of, what the will of the Lord is. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this about understanding His will. Do not be conformed to this world. Or as the Greek, original Greek would say age. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what the will of God. Discern what is the will of God. What is good and acceptable and perfect. Listen to the language of that same verse in the New Living. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. How do you get to know what His will is for you? The Word. That's right. Sometimes we get real mystical. Do you know what I'm talking about? We get real mystical. I'm just gonna get on my face for days and just wait for God to tell me His will. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes He calls you to get on your face and wait and listen. But friends, sometimes the reality is, look in your Word. Look in the Word of God. He's given it to you so that you can understand what His will and His plans are for you. And I promise you, as you do that, wholeheartedly, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And God will lead you. Step into that. You know, this is really the key to our growth as believers. Maybe you've wondered again what God's will is for your life. Ask yourself this question. When was the last time you asked God to renew your mind? How much are you conforming or blending into the world around you? Maybe write that down. If you can. When was the last time you asked God to renew your mind? Does your life, does my life, look any different on a day-to-day basis than the person who doesn't know Jesus? Does the fact that we have been saved and have eternal life with God not affect us so much that we can't help but reflect the glory and power of Jesus through our lives? We have eternal life. If we are believers, if we've asked Him to come in our hearts and live in our hearts, we have eternal life. That's life forever. Never-ending life with God. That should be enough to make us jump for joy. That's amazing. See, we will be aware and we'll understand His will for our lives if we are seeking the renewal, the renewing of our minds through His Word and through walking and talking with Him in prayer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says this again about understanding His will. For this reason, since the day we heard it, We have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So you see, we can actually pray for spiritual wisdom and understanding to know what God's will is for our lives today so that we would have the wisdom to see the opportunities that God gives us to be a blessing. Let's look at verse 18 again in our main text. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 says, do not get drunk. Wine produces mockers. Liquor leads to brawls. Whoever is led astray by drink cannot be wise. I know some of you here are recovering from alcoholism. It's really struggled with it, or it's had a strong control in your life. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, I think that most of us here today know clearly that excessive liquor leads to stupidity. I see those hands. You know, I actually think that should be attached to the liquor bottles. They should attach a little sticker on there that says, you know, just like the warning on cigarette packages, you know. Hey, you know, excessive liquor leads to stupidity. It should be just a sticker on the back, have some guy banging his head into a tree or something like that, a picture or something, you know, just something. Just have that kind of warning. I think it'd be a great idea. It would be a fantastic idea, have that on the bottles. Handcuffs. Have handcuffs on, yeah, that would work. Romans chapter 13, verse 13. We should be decent and true in everything we do, so that everyone can approve of our behavior. Listen carefully to this. Don't participate in wild parties and getting drunk, or in adultery and immoral living, or in fighting and jealousy. Do you listen to how that's all put together there? Don't participate in wild parties and getting drunk, or in adultery and immoral living, or in fighting and jealousy. You see, again, we are representing Jesus to others. We're representing Jesus to others around us more often than we realize. And it only makes sense that we don't participate in things that wouldn't bring honor to Jesus' name. Now again, hear me very clearly. I'm not talking about a drink. I'm talking about being drunk. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. So we have to be careful about that. Because when we get it wrong, or when we think that our rights are more important than representing Jesus well, there's a problem. Anytime we think our rights, my rights to do what I want to do, are more important than representing Jesus well, there's a big problem. Because guess what? We belong to Jesus. And I'm not saying that in just the nice airy fairy, like we belong to Jesus. No, we actually belong to Jesus. We are His. He's paid for us with His blood on the cross. We are not our own. We're His. We don't have rights. We're under Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. What I meant was that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a Christian yet indulges in sexual sin or is greedy or worships idols or is abusive, or a drunkard, or a swindler. Don't even eat with such people. Again, not talking about people who are not believers. People who don't know Jesus. Because the reality is they just don't really know better. They don't have Jesus. This is talking about Christians. People that claim to be Christians. But yet, you know, they're involved in all kinds of things. Sexual sin, greedy, worshiping idols, abusive, drunkards, swindlers. It's very clear, don't even eat with such people. Like, it's a serious thing. You're not representing Christ well at all. I know that sounds harsh. But you know, at the same time, we need to understand that God does not desire any one of us to be involved in those sort of things, nor are we to be involved with those Christians who are. You know, of course, we are to be compassionate, right? Like, we have to be compassionate. We have to love our Christian brother and sister that's stumbling, that's walking in stuff they shouldn't be walking in. Absolutely. We don't just abandon them and say, hey, you're doing that. See you later. Take care. When you're all cleaned up, come on back. that's not it. But, you know, if that person continues, if that person persists, if that person says, listen, you're just too uptight. You just need to be a little more liberal. You just need to be a bit looser in your understanding of the word. Watch out. Because that's a real slippery slope. And that's happening around us even now. Unfortunately, even in the church. Hey, you need to just back off. It's all about love. What kind of twisted understanding of love do you have? Because it's not the God love. It's not the sacrificial love. It's not the I love you enough to die for you love. So yeah, we're to be filled with the Spirit of God in order to be light in a dark world. We're actually to be a people who are able to walk in the supernatural with God, to be a blessing to others, to even perform miracles in Jesus' name. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3:16, speaking to one another in psalms. Let the words of Christ in all their richness live in your hearts and make you wise. Use his words to teach and counsel each other. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. You see, God's word will fill us up with wisdom to know what to say to one another when need be. We are actually to sing unto God with thankful hearts. How many of you know that as you got here this morning and we were worshiping the Lord, that it's actually not for you, it's actually for him? How many of you realize that? How many of you realize that when we worship the Lord, we're worshiping, we're giving him our worship. We're not receiving that, we're giving it to him. And so, you know, when we sing those songs, when we sing hymns, when we sing the psalms, you know, the psalms in the Bible, they were sung. They were sung out. They're songs. They're, you know, they're not just spoken word. They were sung out. And so when we sing those things, sing those hymns, those spiritual songs, those psalms, you know, we got to do that with thankfulness, full of God's love and care in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26 says, what should be done then, my friends? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. I love what God's doing here. I love that you feel comfortable and safe in this place to be able to stand up and give a word. Chris, I love that you were able to give that word this morning and last week and other weeks. And I'll tell you honestly, over the last year and a bit we've been here, I'm seeing that happening more and more, and that's good. Like, I encourage you in that. To be obedient to the Lord as he speaks to you, to build up the body and edify the body. It's what we need. And it's good when it comes from more of us. It's healthy. It's healthy. When we meet together, let all things be done for building up the body. And finally, in verse 20, we're going to come to a close here at this. Always give thanks for all things in the name of the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. Always give thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. Colossians 3, verse 17 says, and whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of Lord Jesus, of the Lord Jesus, all the while giving thanks through him to God the Father. So in whatever we do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. You know, this is the one that really causes me to examine my life. And I just hope that it causes you to examine yours. Everything that we say and everything that we do. Man, let that penetrate in your heart. Like, if it's just bouncing off you and you're thinking, hey, yeah, that's great. Like, just sit on that for a minute. I just want to invite the worship team. So what can you take home from this today? I've mentioned this before, and I'm going to mention it to you again. I really believe that being a follower of Jesus should be an adventure. It's not supposed to be boring. And I'm not talking about adrenaline-filled adventure, you know, like when you're climbing up the side of a mountain or skydiving or something. Like, that's not the type of adrenaline type adventure I'm talking about. Even though sometimes it can be that from time to time. I'm actually talking about what we get to do today with Jesus stuff. When we say to God, when we say to Jesus, like, so Jesus, what are we doing today? What's on the agenda? What's the plan? What's going to happen today? In fact, if your walk with God is boring, you're probably doing something wrong. You're probably not listening carefully enough. You're probably not walking in what he wants you to walk in. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm getting at? That's not God's best for you. Just to be bored and just to check in and check out of this life. And say, yep, done. I did the bare minimum. That's not it. There's a lot more in store if you choose to say yes. If you choose to say, God, what do we get to do today? You know, God's desire for you is to follow him with wisdom. And he wants to give you that wisdom. He wants you to actually make the most of your opportunities today and each and every day. And the Holy Spirit can actually lead you if you choose to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. So if you're here today and you need wisdom to make the most of every opportunity, I want to pray with you today. If you need wisdom, if you're here and you're just saying, Lord, I just need some wisdom. I need God to speak into a situation. I need God to speak into my life. I need you, Lord. I just want to pray with you. We have some board members here. If we have a number of people, I can pray with you as well. But let's just take a moment. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood. But let's take some time. Can we do that this morning? Because we need the Lord. We need him to speak. We need his Holy Spirit to speak in. So we're just going to take a moment. Tim is just going to play. We may not even just sing at the moment. Just play. And I just want you to speak to the Lord. Take a moment. Speak to the Lord. You can all do that. And ask him to just speak to you. And we'll close with a song, and we'll have some time of fellowship in the foyer and hang out. But let's just not rush this moment. Let's let God just speak in to you. And again, I want to encourage you, anything that's weighing you down, any burden, any kind of heaviness you're feeling, lay it down before the Lord. He will take it. He will take it from you. So let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you that your Holy Spirit's here. God, that you're here, that you're moving in this place. God, I thank you that you're at work in each of our lives every single day, whether we realize it or not. And Lord, I thank you that we can ask for your wisdom, we can ask for your Holy Spirit's guidance to be able to make the most of every opportunity today. Because Jesus, you are coming back soon, and you're coming back for your church. And God, your heart breaks for those, Lord, in our community who don't know you. Your heart breaks for them because you died for them as well. They just don't acknowledge that. And so, Lord, as your hands and feet, as your representatives here on this world, here in this community at Gibson's, here on this Sunshine Coast, God, help us. God, help us to make the most of every opportunity to seek you, Lord, to give our lives over to you, to turn our rights over to you, Lord, what we think our rights are, God, and give it to you and say, Lord, we want to represent you well. We want to walk carefully down that path. Lord, we don't want to just stumble our way through. We want to walk carefully, and we need you to help us do that. So, God, I just pray that you speak to each and every single one here, Lord, whether we are in close relationship with you or you seem far off, or maybe we've never met you at all, God, would you just speak? Because you're a big God and you can do that. You can speak into people's lives. So we're just going to sit for a moment and listen for you. Thank you.